I never minded a bit. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And we'll begin reading in verse 21. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. Verse 21, and when they, Paul and Barnabas, had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Verse 27, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. In verse 21, Paul and Barnabas are making disciples. Making disciples by preaching the gospel. Not just baptizing, but making disciples by teaching them. The Easton's Bible Dictionary says a disciple of Christ is one who, one, believes his doctrine, rests on his sacrifice, imbibes his spirit, and imitates his example. I would add a few more things to that, but I think that's a good beginning of a disciple of Christ. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, there, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We'll spend our time again in Acts chapter 14. In verse 23, Paul and Barnabas established churches. It's important here that they established churches. They did not establish organizations. They did not establish business groups. They established churches. They secured those churches. They made them stronger. They appointed elders in, the passage says, every church. There's a lot of different thoughts as to how it could be that elders would be appointed in every church. A lot of Paul's teaching was in the synagogues, so you would have men who were well-founded in religious beliefs and convictions, and once they were taught the truth, it would be reasonable to assume that there would be men in each church who would qualify. Bishops and overseers, pastors, shepherds. Local churches then, like local churches today, need solid leadership. If there's a challenge that we have, it's a lack of solid leadership in our churches across the country. And it's because, in many cases, we want to set up the church as an organization. And the church is not an organization. The church is the family of believers. Well, it would be an awesome responsibility to be an elder, a pastor, shepherd. And it would not come without the need for an incredible awareness an awareness of yourself, an awareness of those whom you would serve with. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, and this was a passage that we used part of in Wednesday night's class, and I made the point that in context there was a discussion here in regards to elders. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the world of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. One of the challenges with getting men to serve as elders is the awesome responsibility in which it carries with it. Well, none of this was by accident that Paul and Barnabas went to every church and preached the gospel, made disciples. None of it was by accident that elders were appointed in every church, and none of it was by the intent of Paul or Barnabas to bolster up themselves. It was never about themselves. The church at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas, but that's an indirect thought. The more direct thought you'll see in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The church sent them. The Holy Spirit called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit was involved in this missionary work. Also in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, we see that at the conclusion of the missionary journey, it was only right to go back to the church that had sent them out and give a report. Verse 27, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And this is the passage that jumped out at me in reading and concluding to draw on this. That he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. There's a lot of closed doors around here that need opening. He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. He had done so by verse 21, preaching the gospel and making many disciples, and then strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting, strongly encouraging them to continue in the faith, and warning or making acutely aware that we must go through trials to reach the kingdom of heaven. Appointing elders in every church, praying with intent, verse 23. There was a focus that was brought about by the fasting. Praying with fasting. The fasting brought about a focus. And then commending them to the Lord in whom they had believed, these elders, men that would make a huge difference in the work of the first century church. So, this first missionary journey, Paul was put at great risk on many occasions. And he had to establish and firm up many churches. And he did, at his own risk. But again, he had the Holy Spirit with him. There's nothing you can't do if God is on your side. Paul had to flee for his life. And he'd flee for his life and go right back into the next city and walk right into the synagogue and start all over again preaching the gospel of Christ. Again, a verse that we have looked at, Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. A complete understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives is beyond me. But I'm convinced that he works in our lives. I'm also convinced that God has not left us here to do his work without aid. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to depend upon our own wisdom, although it's good to be wise. And we don't have to depend upon the conclusions that we draw, although it's good to draw good conclusions. God has left us here not alone to do his work. We have something that perhaps we might use a little bit more effectively, that we have easy access to, and that is the avenue of prayer to God. How often do you pray for this church? How often do you pray for the work here? How often do you pray for this community? Vacation Bible School is coming up. We should all be praying in great humility for the souls to be reached at Vacation Bible School. That parents would be encouraged to bring their children and hopefully stay, but at the very least bring their children. We do an awesome job of praying for one another. It brings me great comfort, the prayers that we have here for one another. And our prayers for the lost, I think, are strong as well. We need to always be praying for the strengthening and encouragement of the saved, because the devil is always right there. He's always right there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do." We always get to the part about all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to focus on the "I can do" for just a moment. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Can do's got to be our mindset. It's got to be our mindset, and it's not like we're going to take on the world and accomplish it all at one time, but we can reach one soul at a time. And "I can do" is not optional. And it's not something to turn on and off. There is an expression that's found in the Bible several times, to wither on the vine. And I would say to you that for this congregation, to wither on the vine is not an option. It is just not an option. To wither on the vine says in Joel chapter 1, verse 12, "Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree is withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. Surely such has withered away from the sons of men." Joy will wither away if we allow it. And we just simply cannot allow it. We must have a can-do attitude. We cannot allow withering on the vine to decay our mindset of the work that we have in the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, as we discussed in our study of John, we're looking at passages that were written spoken directly to the disciples. But as we read those, this passage, and we look at the comparison between the Holy Spirit aiding Paul and Barnabas and what Jesus promises here to his disciples. And then we look at where we are today. There's three different comparisons I want us to look at there. Here we're going to see where Jesus is talking to his disciples. We read in Acts chapter 14 where the Holy Spirit had sent Paul and Barnabas. And then we make application to ourselves today. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. I can see the correlation between Jesus teaching to the apostles there and what we read in Acts chapter 14. It just correlates so beautifully. Verse 18, if the world hates you, and it certainly hated Paul, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own, because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated Paul without a cause. If you go out and teach the gospel, they'll hate you without a cause. And verse 26, when the advocate comes, the advocate came and sent Paul. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I don't know how it all works, but I am convinced that we have an advocate who will help us to say the right things given the right opportunity. We have an opportunity to make a difference, not in the whole world, but we can certainly make a difference here in Roxboro. One neighbor, one soul, one child, one friend at a time. If we can help you in any way this evening, I want you to come forward and remember that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
No tears in heaven, no sorrow.